Hello, this is Larry with the Fletcher Post. I am honored to have with me today a gentleman by the name of Mike, who is a therapist. As you know, our pod is based around relationships. So how perfect of a person, a gentleman, to have this discussion with. I'm sure, Mike, that you from day to day deal with all aspects of relationships.
Yes, definitely. I've come across some characters who have relationships with even bigger characters. Yes, this is all true.
Okay, maybe off mic I'll get a deeper explanation of characters having relationships with characters.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he care to expound on that a little more. Do you mean by that people that have issues, but with people that have even bigger issues?
Yes. So oftentimes you'll come across folks who have relationships with someone who deals with a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And we oftentimes focus on the person with the mental illness and how they are struggling with it personally. But also there's an interpersonal component to that as well. So their partners oftentimes suffer a bunch from those things. So I'll see folks who maybe their partner struggles with depression. As we know, being around negative energy, you can only stand those things so long before it begins to affect you, right? You can only be around it so long before it begins to seep into what your energy is already, what your state is, and it affects it. And oftentimes the partnered person who is with the person who struggles with depression, they feel guilt saying those things out loud. My partner is making me feel negative. My partner is making me feel drained. My partner is making me feel less motivated, right? All of the symptoms associated with depression, we see that those carry on to the partner, who is usually the most empathetic person that that other person may have.
I see.
Yeah.
If I could just take a step back, perhaps, here, what concerns me also is, let's say a person is dealing with some, some type of illness that has different stages.
Yes.
Okay. So two people get together and neither one picks up on a stage one of, say, depression or what have you, even abuse even comes out of, you know, at different stages and different types.
Definitely.
So how do you help someone deal with, let's say, a person did not see the handwriting on the wall because the partner was at a very low level of depression or anxiety or what have you, but over a period of 10 years, let's say the situation or the illness has elevated or become more intense. So from both partners' perspective, how is, without us trying to go into the medical end of it, just from a therapist standpoint, is there an avenue that you can approach a situation like that?
Well, a couple of things, right? So, like, mental health in general is a topic that folks do not like to discuss openly and in candid form. Oftentimes, people are really, really afraid of the term crazy, right? No one wants to be called crazy.
Right.
No one wants to be even remotely considerable to the word crazy. And that's a real disservice to the mental health field, because mental health is for everyone, and it's something that everyone should monitor as an ongoing process, right? And it's not something that you should do in isolation. It's something that you should talk to your peers about continuously. If you've been feeling down, and if you see that you've been feeling down frequently, you should share those things with your peers, particularly with your partners, right?
Okay.
So there's that component. The best way to deal with these things is to prevent them. Obviously, in some cases, mental illnesses you cannot prevent with just social interactions. Oftentimes, though, you can scave off the worst components of it. Surely, you can begin to see that there has to be some professional engagement to address these things.
Okay.
So there's those components. Mm-hmm. Also, just the idea that you need to communicate frequently. And I know that I just mentioned that you should communicate when you're having difficulties, but you should communicate frequently, because if you're not communicating with your partner, you can't tell when a shift has changed or when a shift has occurred. Mm. For example, if you are a husband who works 8, 9, maybe 10 hours a day, you come home, your wife has your meal for you there, and you don't really have energy to engage with your wife. You don't have energy to engage with your family.
Right, right.
Maybe the shoe's on the other foot. You're the woman, and you are the provider of the family. You don't have time to engage with your family. You don't have time to engage with your husband.
Or feel
the
like
the way that
it.
You did before. Mm-hmm. Or even check in with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea that you should really check in with yourself, and you should be communicating with your partners. You should be communicating with those in your social network. Mm-hmm. In a candid way, right? The key to this whole thing is the honesty component.
The honesty. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we got a little deeper into the medical aspect of it than I intended to, but this is good. However, our hands are so tied now as far as how far we can go or what mm-hmm. we can get out of a person that's dealing with a illness, mental illness that need medical assistance mm-hmm. or a psychiatrist or what have you. And that's thanks to a president back in the 80s that did not sign off on the mental health system mm-hmm. and then made it impossible for the family members mm-hmm. to really, really assist someone in the first stages of a mental illness.
Yes.
You almost have to be ready to really do self-inflicted harm mm-hmm. to yourself or to someone that's going to be devastating before
right.
you can really get any help in that area. Mm-hmm. And then the sickness has elevated to a point where it's almost impossible to bring them back to wholeness. Mm-hmm. So that is one of what I call the most difficult kind of relationships to be in and to manage, because it does take a lot of management and a lot of help, because usually a person that is ill in those areas will not accept help
yes.
from their partner. Mm-hmm. That partner becomes an enemy to them
yes.
in their mindset.
That brings up a great point. So uh-huh. Whether you're dealing with someone who has a known mental illness or you're dealing with someone who has developed a mental illness and they may not know that it is occurring and that it is affecting them and it is affecting their entire thought process.
Okay.
As the partnered person, you also have to recognize your role as being integral to their well-being
okay.
and integral to their path towards healing or their path towards detriment. Because oftentimes we're very selfish and we cannot look from the partner's perspective
mm-hmm.
what's going on. I'll give you a good example. I had a young lady who came in and she was sharing a story about her partner who has depression as well.
Okay.
And he deals with depressive episodes that can become violent, that can become explosive.
Wow.
And he has never hit her, but he hits walls, he breaks objects, so forth.
But that's the next, she's the next object that he will, as it elevates?
Potentially.
Yeah, it will.
So
mm-hmm. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
This particular woman was sharing this story with me, and she, and I was very proud of her for this as well,
mm-hmm.
She began to recognize what parts of their interactions began to escalate, where she could have taken different actions
mm-hmm.
and de-escalated before it got to those points of anger, of frustration.
Okay.
Now, obviously, we cannot be completely accountable for policing our partner's behaviors. Mm-hmm. However, we know them intimately in ways that other people do not.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes partners will share things that they won't share with anyone else together.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to pick up on behaviors, right? Antecedent behaviors, so behaviors that happen before an outburst or an outbreak. And you can kind of gauge what your action should be to de-escalate,
mm-hmm.
or you can choose a selfish action, and you can say things like, I cannot believe you're behaving this way, how dare you, like, I'm getting sick and tired of you doing these things.
Right.
But in your mind, you know that this person struggles with, you know, anger management, this person struggles with depression, this person struggles with the anxiety.
But what if you do not know this, or you don't recognize the signs of these situations, because say the person, partner, has never been diagnosed mm-hmm. with those elements, but and you don't really recognize, you think you're just being a mean person, you're just being a bad person, you just don't love me, mm-hmm. you know, I've heard all of this, you know, what, you don't want this marriage or this relationship,
mm-hmm.
but the partner that is supposedly well don't recognize that this isn't something that the sick partner
mm-hmm.
can actually control
and address.
Mm-hmm. This way. So beating them down, beating that partner down that's not acting the way mm-hmm. I want that partner to act could also be detrimental to that person that's experiencing these kinds of illnesses. Could that be true?
Yes, I think that what you're saying is true. And again, that goes back to what I was saying before. It's a coupled answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that as a whole, mental health is not taken as seriously as it should be.
Okay.
And it is also has a tremendous amount of stigma around seeking help
mm-hmm.
and telling someone that you deal with a mental illness or that you deal with something that is internal
okay.
that affects your emotion, that affects your reasoning, right?
Okay.
Again, we're really afraid of that label crazy. And then also, again, back to my other point about being honest and being open. So if you know in your heart, I have done everything that I can to support my partner.
Okay.
I've done everything that I can to make my partner happy. And instead, I'm still getting hit with violence. I'm still getting hit with being pushed away. I'm still getting hit with, you know,
rejection
uh-huh. in some form.
Okay.
Then you have to really be honest with yourself and saying, well, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's my partner.
Okay.
And if my partner has been behaving in a normal, quote-unquote, normal fashion, and they have made a shift into an unnormal fashion.
Okay.
But you've remained steady, right?
Okay.
You've not cheated. You've not done something in the past that creates a rift.
Right.
Then you need to be honest with yourself in addressing that as a problem that is stemming from your partner, right?
Okay.
An issue that is stemming from something that may be internal from your partner, right? But that requires a tremendous amount of honesty with yourself and with your partner, right?
Mm.
Because some folks are actually abusive. There are people who seek relationships to abuse their partners. And we do have to get out of those unhealthy relationships. However, for the sake of our conversation, when you do recognize that there is an issue, right, and you do recognize that things are not going the way that you had foreseen them to go, that honesty with yourself will do a lot in helping the dialogue move forward towards some positivity, right? And positivity may mean that your relationship works out, your partner seeks the help, they get the help, or it means that you escape an unhealthy situation and you make the choice that's best for you.
Mean to divide the relationship?
Right.
To end the relationship?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that we should shy away from. Oftentimes, we have had so many unhealthy relationships in the past
mm-hmm.
That have left so many scars with us that when we get into a relationship that may not be physically abusive, but is verbally abusive.
Verbal and emotional.
We accept that. Uh-huh. Right. Well, at least he's not hitting me. He's paying my bills.
Right.
Or at least she's not, you know,
right,
doing this abusive thing to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I can accept this form of abuse, whereas I could not tolerate the latter.
When any abuse of any kind is exactly. abuse, whether it's financial or mm-hmm. or what have you, or the autocrat, the ruler.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Definitely. This is awesome. This is some awesome stuff, Mike. I'm going to give you an invitation to participate further, because I feel like that we opened up some perhaps situations in a lot of people's lives that we may need to close some doors on, mm-hmm. or maybe give them a some type of not diagnosis or anything like that. Avenues of maybe where they can find help.
Yeah, some tools.
Yeah, right. Some tools. Definitely. There you go. Tools that may tools be helpful to them.
Themselves.
Right, and just maybe someone just listening to this pod may be able to say, "Wow, that's me. Mm-hmm. I never thought about it like that, or I didn't see it like that. This is a new norm for me. So how do I deal with this?" Mm-hmm. You know. So this is some awesome stuff. My intentions were to talk about the good relationships and all, but it just did, that's not the way it went. And that's the good part about doing these things is the subject and the conversation and the experiences is what leads the conversation.
Definitely.
And when it's outlined like that, it becomes very helpful for people.
Well, I hope that I was able to shed some light on some topics for folks. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much. I hope and pray that we can talk again.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.